Let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots training camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. It's supposed to be tough. It's the NFL. It's training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
We've now watched half a dozen Patriots training camp practices this summer. And so far, the weather's been great. The atmosphere's been fun. The stands have been full. And today, Andy Hart, things got a little feisty out there. I think camp is finally starting to weigh on some of the players. We saw some aggressiveness about midway through practice today. We'll get to that in a second. Eric Scalavino with Andy Hart. We also lost Paul Perillo along the way somewhere. He was at practice with us, but
he found a better microphone.
Yeah, so he ditched us.
Now he is.
Mm-hmm.
I'd call him a whore.
Would that be disrespectful?
No, I'm just going to call him a whore.
Oh, okay.
Yes, Brandon Browner.
I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
Brandon Browner was apparently sick of giving up balls, as he said, and had to turn it up a bit, and that involved him going at it first and foremost with Kenbrell Tompkins, and those two, he threw him to the, Tompkins threw him to the ground, then he pushed him down, and then later, Chad O'Shea and Browner got into it. Chad O'Shea,
yeah,
being the wide receivers coach, he barked at Jimmy Garoppolo to throw the ball. Big man, big cornerback, and a little bit of a temper, apparently.
And the D-backs coach was giving it back to the wide receivers coach. It got ugly there for a little while.
They always say, you know, you start to get in 5, 6, 7 days practicing against the same people, saying the same crap. And, you know, little things that you may have overlooked in day 1, 2, 3, you start to get annoyed with.
Yeah, it was interesting. There was, at one point, too, Tompkins and Browner sort of went their separate ways, took their helmets off, and then all of a sudden, one of them started jawing at the other one again, and it picked up again, and they were pointing fingers, and all of a sudden, it was like, all right, come on, let's go, let's do this drill. And they put the helmets on, and Tompkins was pointing at Brady, like saying, I'm going again. And, and it was basically just like they wanted to hit each other.
Correct.
That's all it was, really, and that's really what happened. Brady kind of lofted the ball in the corner of the end zone way out of bounds, and the two of them could just...
Right.
But it wasn't like there wasn't a fight.
Nope.
And it didn't really escalate into anything more than that, but it was about as testy as we've seen this camp, the Edelman and Arrington little dust-up aside.
Yep.
But like I said, we're a week in, 6 practices, that's going to happen. And I think both of them afterwards said that they...
hate each other?
No.
Oh, no, they didn't say that.
No, they didn't say that. you know, Browner going after the assistant coach was something that's...
I've never seen
that. I've not seen that before, and that really did it, because the assistant coach was not backing down either,
right?
And it could have gotten a little bit uglier at that point, but Browner said afterwards that they made amends, both he and the coach, he and Tompkins, left it on the field. It was just one of those...
And we do have to remember, he is, you know, a former member of the Legion of Boom, and I think they do things a little bit differently in Seattle, and... attitudes probably, you know, reign supreme a little bit more, and they're definitely more physical in terms of what they get away with on the field. And, you know, I think he brought a little touch of the Legion of Boom to the Patriots secondary, and who knows? Maybe that's a good thing.
Maybe
that rubbing off, and for everybody involved, the receivers, maybe that, you know, they'll get sort of a different look, and maybe the secondary, you know, we praised Aqib Talib for what he brought to the secondary in terms of swagger and attitude and fight. Well, maybe Browner brings something of his own in a little different spin on that same sort of thing.
He actually said that in his comments afterwards, that days like this are going to make us all better.
Right.
Myself, the secondary, the receivers. So Tompkins, when he talked to the media afterwards, I asked him that too. I said, Browner said this is going to make you guys better. Do you agree? And he said, absolutely.
They all need to get better, because I quite frankly thought the quarterbacks were bad today. I thought the receivers were bad today. And I thought the secondary was pretty bad today, which is weird that they could all be
bad
same day.
Yeah.
But I really did think that kind of all areas struggled in the passing game today.
I agree. Especially when it got to about quarter of 12, 10 of 12, and I looked over at one of the other people in the media and I said, you know what I'm lacking today? A play of the day to write about. And a few minutes later, Browner made a nice play, interception and 12-on-12, and I mean 11-on-11.
That'd be cheating.
Yeah.
I mean, Seattle has a 12th man,
well,
but
true,
not everybody
can
have it.
But it was off number 12, which was interesting. But it took basically the whole practice for anything really exciting, that skirmish aside, on-field exciting to happen. So It's unfortunate though that you know, that full pads again today, and we haven't really seen. I don't think we've seen a great practice yet.
Probably not.
I think we've seen great efforts by individuals. We've seen one side or the other have a great day, but I don't think we've seen the best practice yet of training camp.
I would agree.
And maybe we'll see some of that next week when we go to Washington. When
ramp it up a little bit.
The intensity is so much different when you have another team out there.
And that's why I'm interested in seeing, remember last year, Tlaib and...
Yes, in Philly.
DeSean Jackson.
Yes.
Now we could get Browner and DeSean Jackson.
DeSean Jackson.
To go into it. Different
Very
team,
true.
Different right. year. But, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see this feistiness and how that plays off against, you know, RG3's offense and receivers and all that. So, yeah, I think they're ramping up towards... actual competition, and I think that's good.
Yeah, I do too. And some of the guys talked about that as well afterwards, looking forward to going down to Washington. As far as attendance, not good news for Hooman. 2 days in a row now, he's been missing. I don't know if he did something at the end of Sunday's practice.
There have been some reports that he limped off late in Sunday's practice.
I didn't really notice anything.
I didn't really see it. But, you know, there were reports, so he may be dealing, based on that, with some sort of lower body injury, leg, knee, ankle, who knows.
Brian Stork, who we mentioned yesterday, was hurt. The beginning of practice yesterday, wasn't out there at all today, so that's not good news for him. Joining him was Chris White, your favorite inconspicuous linebacker, who missed his first practice of the season. Josh Boyce, not good. He was not out there. Did speak yesterday afterwards.
I told you, though, he limped over to speak with
the media. Yeah, he did. He didn't look good.
And remember, he got banged up late in the second to last day in minicamp.
Yep.
He was banged up last year. Not good.
No.
Not good.
The two receivers they drafted last year have so far not really been able to put it together.
And I would argue the third, before you get back to attendance, I thought Kembrell Tompkins had a really bad day.
Yeah, he
did. I don't know if some of the Browner stuff got in his head, but I thought he had too many drops. He fell down a number of times, which continues to be a problem for him. He's got a little bit of that 85 curse to him where it just doesn't look right. I thought he had his worst practice. And he just continues to be inconsistent. That's his story. You know, he'll give you flashes of he can catch, get open, physical, can get off the line, and then he gives you flashes of falling down, dropping the ball, all the bad.
That's the thing that gets me with him is, like, he seems to be open when he's dropping the ball.
Yeah.
Like, he's running nice routes, and you see him get open, and then you're like, ah.
Yep.
Because it hits him right in the hands, too. Attendance will continue with Aaron Dobson continues to rehab on the sidelines. So does Matthew Slater. Jeremy Gallen, I didn't see out there today. He had been one of those guys that has been out there. Dominique Easley, of course, is, as usual, has been out there. Good news for Dan Connolly, who was out yesterday. He was back. Took a lot of reps at center today, too.
I was going to say, bad news for Ryan Wendell. You're now playing center with the group that's not known as Logan Mankins or Nate Solder.
The usual team that you see out there. Yeah.
And Marcus Cannon, who filled in yesterday when Conley was absent, stayed at right guard with that group next to Sebastian Vollmer and with Conley in the middle. So, you know, be interesting to see. And I wrote about this on the blog yesterday. For a long time, people have said, oh, Cannon might be a possibility at guard. Maybe they'll move Cannon into guard. He hasn't played that much guard here. He's been a tackle primarily here. Well, now we have 2 days in a row here where he's at guard. That could be one of those things where all of a sudden the idea gets put on the field and they say, we like this and we continue this and this is going to work. And all of a sudden there's like a snowball effect in terms of personnel. But yeah, that interior competition we've been talking about, Cannon at guard and Conley at center was the wrinkle today.
I also noticed James White getting a lot of action today with the early group, if you want to call it that.
I think James White's been one of the nice stories to start camp. I think he's caught the ball well. I think he's run well with the ball. I think he's shown, you know, he's taken some good pops and just jumps right back up. I've liked pretty much everything I've seen now. You know, I think I've said this, you have to wait and see pass pro and blitz pickup and all those important things. But I'm intrigued very much so by James White.
Yeah, and if he can continue to do that, now you have some legitimate competition with Stephen Ridley. For those carries. I mean, you know it's going to be a committee approach anyway, but It does matter who gets the bulk of the carries. Not necessarily who gets the first carry of the game, but who gets the most of them.
And you also need, because the two top guys on the committee, Vereen and Ridley, have issues. Mm-hmm. Ridley with fumbles. Okay, when is he going to be in the doghouse? You know, when you send him to the bench in the doghouse, somebody has to play.
All right.
And if Vereen is injured for eight games like he was last year, somebody has to play. And I think James White is now an option to kind of help out in that area when you need it.
I agree. And we were treated for the second straight day, too, to Brady, Gronk, and Revis.
Yes.
Putting on a little bit of an
Gronk
exhibition.
And Gronk sucked. Dropped the ball like three
he
times.
He did.
I hardly ever see that.
I didn't think Brady was throwing him the ball
Brady
too well
sucks
either.
Too. I thought everybody was pretty down today. I thought Ryan Mallett stunk. I thought Julian Edelman, who had been my five-day star of camp, dropped too many balls and was not on the same page with Brady. I don't know if it's, you know, they're getting a little tired or there's an increase in what's being installed and there's more to think about.
Yep.
But, yeah, just in that drill in particular, yeah, it was the same thing as yesterday. I thought they mixed it up a little bit more. They kind of split Revis and Gronk out and did some different routes, different things. But in general, Gronk had probably three bad drops, I'll say.
And he was mad at himself, you could tell.
Yeah, because they were drops. I mean, they went through his hands and deflected off of him.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, you rarely see that. I mean, the guy has elite-type hands.
He does.
So that was problematic. But as I said, Edelman had drops. LaFell had some bad drops. LaFell is really...
He's very inconsistent.
LaFell. Who's not Brandon LaFell? I just haven't seen anything that jumps out at me, and I don't get the hype or the thought of why he was brought here and what he could be.
Yeah, so far, not seeing it.
You know who I do buy the hype on, though?
Yeah, who?
James Anderson. I'm all in. Dude's a coverage linebacker. Son of a bitch, they exist. Because dude can run with running backs, can run with slot receivers at times. He covered White today down the sideline, and it was hip-to-hip. Like, as I joked to Paul, this team could have used him at cornerback in recent years. That's how good I've seen him in coverage. I'm very impressed.
Well, then it's going to be interesting to see how much he gets on the field.
Oh, he will.
Because
Hightower, out.
Well, he has been out in the nickel, which not really too surprising.
Nope.
But
Collins was good too. I should note. They did a lot of one-on-one with linebackers, running backs, tight ends, and Collins was also very good in coverage, but in a different way. James Anderson covers. He kind of can stick with a guy.
Speed-wise.
Yeah, and fluidity-wise, you know, he seems to, you know, ramp it down. Doesn't overrun the guy. Whereas Jamie Collins. A guy will get a yard, couple yards on him, separation, and then he's just so damn long. He takes one step and sticks an arm out, and he gets back into the play and has that recovery ability that makes him an option in pass coverage. But I thought he was good in pass coverage today. That's something this team has not been good at in I don't know how long, but I think those two guys, Collins and Anderson, are bringing some pass defense to the linebacker position.
Noticed afterwards you got a chance to talk to DJ Williams, the heralded tight end.
Yes.
Heralded college tight end who's been unheralded in the NFL.
Mackey Award winner coming out of Arkansas, 150 catches in his career there, played with Ryan Mallett, and when the offense was putting up big numbers, went to Green Bay, never really latched on, and he basically has reached the point, and I thought he was quite candid, basically saying, it's on me. You know, you can blame other people, or you can blame an injury, or you blame that this guy got paid, but, you know, when you're cut, I think he said three or four times, and you're on your couch for a couple of weeks, you start to realize it's all on you to get or not get what you deserve. And he sounds like that has sort of been liberating to him, that he now truly understands, you know, kind of what he needs to do. And he has an opportunity here because, you know, Gronk's not practicing, and now Hooman's not practicing.
Yeah.
But even when those guys are out there, there's a lack of depth at that position. And, you know, he's a little smaller guy, probably, you know, a little bit more of a move tight end. I'll admit I haven't been wowed by him. I don't see a Mackey Award winner. And Justin Jones, to me, is very much in that, you know, they're sort of neck and neck.
Yeah.
Jones, maybe more for a practice squad developmental role. But he's a very good guy with a pretty interesting story and just well-spoken and really honest about who he is, where he is in his career.
I think we should also note that as far as the guys who are coming back from injury, Tommy Kelly, who's been out there in pads, finally got to see some action in 11-on-11
ramped it
team
up a little
period,
bit. Yep.
Which is very good to see. That's an encouraging sign from him.
Yep.
Fonzie Dennard, not so much yet.
Nope.
He's still doing gassers.
But he's what?
But
one
he's
or
only
2 days behind Kelly in sort of this process evolution of maybe getting out in team reps.
He did talk afterwards today, though. Not a lot there. He's not the greatest of quotes to begin with. Wouldn't really touch any of the off-season, off-the-field stuff that he was involved in. And is just, you know, happy to be here now, all that, taking it one day at a time, trying to, all that, yeah. But that's the first time we've heard from him since last year.
Yeah. So, and is a guy that's, I don't think, going to give up his starting job without a fight. You know, we talk about the physicality of Browner. Browner's been beaten.
Oh, yeah.
Rather often, rather frequently. He struggles flat out with Julian Edelman and smaller receivers. It's a bad matchup.
Gave up a touchdown to him today, actually.
Yes, and he's been beaten at times by Kenbrell Tompkins, their little feud. And we all know there's a four-game window where he's not available. I don't think Alphonso Dennard's going to go down without a fight here with that for that job.
No, I agree. And it's going to be interesting when all of them are back in October, assuming everyone's healthy at that point. How that all shakes out, because
they have competition in July, but will they have competition in October?
And Logan Ryan, one other quick note, spoke afterwards as well, was also asked about playing a little safety in the installation period this morning. And I think he was a little nervous to talk about it because it was really the first time we'd actually seen. Right. We'd heard it talked about a lot, speculated
and
about
Bill
during the offseason.
Said it might be a possibility on at the draft press conference.
Right.
But that position continues to befuddle me. The reps, the day, any day, there's a different
it's an
guy
audition.
Next to McCoy.
It's an open audition, clearly.
And today, Nate Ebner got a lot of
reps with
the top-end type players and next to McCourty. And I don't know where that position's going. You know, I continue to think that Daron Harmon is the guy to
lose it. It's his to lose, yeah.
And I haven't really seen him do a lot to lose it. But other guys are getting a lot of opportunities to take it.
Yeah, which tells me that they're not quite as confident in Daron Harmon maybe as some other people were during the offseason. But that's what camp's about. It's
Indeed.
An open competition. And there's going to be more of that tomorrow. Andy and I will be back. Maybe we'll get Paul to join us again.
Not if there's a camera or a microphone, or he may have 35 visitors to bring to camp, as he seems to do every day.
Paul is on the physically unable to pontificate list today. So
he's never unable to pontificate. He will die
on this podcast. Physically unable to podcast, let's put it that way.
Yes, that's better.
All right, we will see you tomorrow for our practice number 7 recap.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.